Johnson of the Long Beach Police, who says one of the two firefighters died. Now Thomas Kim is facing those charges. There's still no word on his motive. The agency overseeing the U.S. border says it's no longer recommending prosecution for people who illegally cross it with kids. The Customs and Border Protection Commissioner saying CPB is temporarily stopping such prosecutions, that after President Trump's executive order last week that was to end the separation of families at the border. The Pawnee wildfire in Northern California continues to grow. It's just 5% contained. And this is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
A Kentucky World War II veteran to be honored posthumously at the White House today when President Trump will award a Medal of Honor to the family of Army First Lieutenant Garland Murrell Connor. An injured Connor ran from a hospital in France in 1945 to rejoin his unit on the front lines. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell paying tribute to Connor and noting that he performed heroically through, quote, wave after wave of German advances. The Kentucky Republican was instrumental in securing a Medal of Honor for Connor, who died in 1998 at 79. The Medal of Honor is America's highest military award. Britain's Prince William's on a historic tour of the Middle East that began in Jordan and will be heading to Israel and occupied Palestinian territories before it's over. USA Radio's Wendy King has more.
William and Jordanian Crown Prince Hussein watched a World Cup soccer match together and later visited the archaeological ruins of Jerash, a Roman city dating to the first century. The site has a personal connection to the royal couple. Kate Middleton was photographed there by her father, Michael Middleton, in 1984 when she was a child. British royals have historically declined invitations for official state visits to Israel. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu called it a historic visit. For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
Well, the time is 10:04, time for Hunterton Chamber Radio weather. Flemington right now, it's a beautiful day, 72 degrees. There is no rain in the forecast at this moment. Today is June 26, 2018. It'll be sunny to partly cloudy and a high of 79 with winds southeast at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Please enjoy today. It's unbelievably beautiful out there. Partly cloudy tonight with a low of 57, winds light and variable. That will tell you the low humidity that's in the air right now. More clouds than sun tomorrow. A stray shower or thunderstorm is possible. A high of 78, winds south-southeast at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Thunderstorms likely in the morning on Thursday, then the chance of scattered thunderstorms in the afternoon. High around 85, wind southwest at 5 to 10 miles an hour, chance of rain 90%. Generally sunny and 91 on Friday the 29th. Last day of June, mainly sunny and a high of 94, and record high temperatures on 96 will be it. Winds light and variable. Temperatures in the area 71 in Raritan, 73 in East Amwell, 75 in Kingwood, 76 in just below Pittstown and Pattonburg. I think that's Little York or York over there. 72 in Tewksbury, 73 in White House, 77 in Easton. Stay tuned for Tech Today on HanshiMaria.com, the voice of business.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Good day and welcome to another edition of Tech Today on HuntingChamber.com, the voice of business. I'm your host, Chris Bianco. I am the principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Blue Panther Business Partners offers practical advice, hands-on assistance to the business owner who never has time to improve his or her business. We do that by acquiring and help accomplishing your wish list. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology so that consumers being seeking solutions for personal or business use can be better informed when purchasing or hiring individuals to carry out technological decisions. Each week, I'll focus on topics about technology. Those topics could include news, the latest apps, buying advice for hardware and software, and answering your questions. To contact me during the show, you can message me through Facebook at Tech Today. You can email me at goodmorning@huntingchamber.com. My phone number here in the studio, 908-237-0410, and you can contact me outside of the show by going to my website, bluepantherbiz.com. Welcome to another edition of Tech Today. It's the last week of June. Lots of stories out there, lots of tech stories out there, and lots of new innovative things happening that we want to get to you to give you some insight into what's happening. The first one is pretty interesting. It's in this day and age where we have VRBO and Airbnb and stuff like that, where we want to rent out a room in our house or even rent out a part of a house or a full house, we want to have the ability to allow those people to get keys, not make copies of those keys. And so there's only a couple ways to do that. Now, hotels have done it by using key cards. That gets pretty expensive. But nowadays, with the various internet and Internet of Things, there's a way to do it now with apps and connected locks. So on TechCrunch, it says that August, which is the name of a lock company, can now generate smart entry codes for Airbnb guests. Written by Jordan Cook 30 minutes ago. This is fresh off the press. It says that August Lock is getting into the home sharing industry, making the process of checking in an Airbnb guest a bit easier. Airbnb has done what it can over the past few months to make checking in plain and simple. For example, the company built a new tool that lets hosts spell out check-in instructions within the app, all in a simple flow to make sure guests have all the information they need at their fingertips. But that hasn't solved the biggest problem of all, the key. For one, people don't often have a lot of interest in meeting strangers, especially when they're fresh off a plane or a road trip. Secondly, it's annoying to block out that time, sometimes getting off work to go hand off a key to an Airbnb guest. And then there's the matter of getting keys copied or retooling your smart lock to temporarily offer a stranger access. That's where August comes into play. August now lets an Airbnb and HomeAway guest link their accounts to August. When a guest books at their home, August will generate a smart code that lasts for the duration of the stay and no longer, letting the guest easily check in and come and go without the host having to babysit the process. Guests will receive their PIN code and instructions via email. Hosts simply need an August smart lock and smart keypad to start letting technology do the heavy lifting. And, in fact, August is running a deal right now for 25% off the Smarter Home Hosting Bundle, which includes an August Smart Lock, August Connect Wi-Fi Bridge, and an August Smart Keypad. This, coupled with other startup services like Handy, should make becoming an Airbnb host as simple as tapping a few buttons. Yeah, it's gotten to that point, has it not, where we're trying to make a little a couple bucks with the social business of Airbnb or VRBO, and these types of locks provide that opportunity. Now, there's a caveat. And, you know, as a tech person for 35 years, I've seen the other side of this. The two things are, one, what if the lock does not have connectivity, so it does not receive the codes? Now we have to scramble, and we're out of sync because what was expected to happen does not. That's the first one. The second one is even more diabolical, and that is that anything that has this type of security, anything that's on the internet and has this type of ability, is at the mercy of the developers. And I have hired, and I have worked with, and I have developed myself. And I can tell you this. There are plenty of people out there that do it with a lot of intensity and trying to get all the bugs out. But there are other people that just do enough to get by. And if you happen to be the possessor of a lock or a lock system that has been done by a company that just wants to get by, and I'm not saying August is one of them, I'm saying you don't know, then you are at the mercy of what's going on there. So physical locks are a burden, no doubt about it. But these types of locks are a challenge as well. And as they continue to improve, they'll be less of an issue. But I would not be interested in getting involved in this right off the bat. There are going to be some people that take that are the leading edge and bleeding edge folks. Thank you very much. Let me know how it all works out. Give me some feedback, and I'll decide after I've gotten some of the verdict and the opinions in. Aside from that, think about it before you actually do it. All right. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back with more of Tech Today in just a few minutes. You're listening to Tech Today on HuntingChamberRadio.com.
Struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterton County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterton Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterton-chamber.org.
Welcome back to Tech Today on HuntonChamber.com, the voice of business, WHCR-DB. The previous segment, I was talking about locks and how locks have the ability to handle remote access, virtual access, and the like. And they're used and they've been produced for a positive reason, right? Well, unfortunately, there's always another diabolical reason. And it's an article here by 9to5Mac, which talks about the dark side of Internet of Things. And it's being used now as a tool in domestic abuse, say victims, lawyers, and shelters. Written by Ben Lovejoy on the 25th, says, smart home tech used for domestic abuse, say victims, lawyers, and shelters. So, smart home technology is being used to inflict new forms of domestic abuse on partners and former partners. Examples include everything from video surveillance through cameras, to blasting out loud music through smart speakers and turning up thermostat temperatures to oppressive levels. The New York Times carried out more than 30 interviews with those familiar with the misuse of smart home devices. One organization working to help domestic abuse victims says that there has been a reluctance to discuss the issue in public. One simple form of abuse is locking partners out of ability to control the device in their home. While both men and women can be victims of domestic abuse, the particular form is more likely to affect women. The law is also lagging behind the technology, even if victims obtain restraining orders against a former partner. Remotely controlling devices in the home is not usually covered. So there's a couple of anecdotes here. It says, domestic abuse victims, their lawyers, shelter workers, and emergency responders described how the technology was being an alarmingly new tool. Abusers using apps on their smartphone, which are connected to internally internet-enabled devices, would remotely control everyday objects in the home, sometimes to watch and listen, other times to scare or to show power. Even after a partner had left the home, the devices often stayed and continued to be used to intimidate and confuse. Erica Olson, director of Safety Net Project and National Network to End Domestic Violence, said, quote, she was wary of discussing of misuse of emerging technologies because, quote, we don't want to introduce the idea to the world. But now that it's become as prevalent, the cat's out of the bag. Connected home gadgets are largely installed by men, said Melissa Gregg, a research director in Intel working on the implications of smart home technology. Many women also do not have all the apps on their phones, said Jenny Kennedy, a postdoctoral research fellow at RMIT, University of Melbourne, Australia, who is researching the install smart home technology. If you or someone you are or you know or yourself is in an abused situation, the National Domestic Violence Hotline offers 24/7 support at 1-800-799-7233 or 1-800-787-3224. Live chat is available online from 7 a.m. to 2 a.m. Central Time, and making a phone call is impossible. So, yeah, this is kind of what the danger is. And there's a lot of things going on in this manner. The first one is, and this is something I've been pounding my fists on for years. The first one is, women, please get involved in your world. Do not be the mercy of your partner taking all the control and power on certain objects or certain tasks, whether it's money and whether it's technology. You need to have and be informed about it. So when your domestic partner is putting in this type of technology, you should be getting the codes. You should be getting the objects. You should be getting the apps. You should have an equal amount of time to do it, to use it, and to administer it. Number two, why these things are in your house, I don't know. I have a huge skepticism and concern about an Internet of Things, not because of this. This is a new problem. It's because somebody beyond the people you know could eventually get into these Internet of Things and do exactly the same thing to you, whether you're having a domestic problem or not. And so these people could be changing the heat on you. They could be locking you out. They could be listening in. These are the things that, again, because you don't know anything about what's going on inside these gadgets, you are at complete mercy of the development and, unfortunately, the lack of quality development of these products. So that should be that. Number three, if you start to feel that you are starting to have some domestic disputes, these things should be the first thing you should look at removing, because these could again be used as pawns in that game. So this is hard to remember, because right now, if you're not having any problems at home, you're likely to not think about it. And when that time does come, if it does, it's something that you won't think about readily. So it's something that you need to make a point of as you continue to watch what's happening in your household and make sure you're handling it. And this goes for garage door openers and thermostats and refrigerators and the like. Please look after all that. It's a dark, dark world, and people are sinister when they want to be, unfortunately. Okay, moving on from there, we have news about Firefox browsers. Firefox gets a speedier tab switching, a new accessible tool for development, and more. Richard, written by Frederick Lardinois, an hour ago. He says that Mozilla today released version 61 of its Firefox browser. By now, it's no secret that Firefox is back in contention as a serious competitor to Google's Chrome. And while new release doesn't offer any groundbreaking new features, all of the new improvements and tools in Firefox 61 are good examples of why Firefox is worth another try. Two of the new features focus on speed, something Firefox was sorely lacking for a while but now offers plenty of. The first of these is tab warming, which essentially makes switching between tabs faster because Firefox already preemptively starts loading a tab after a small delay when you are hovering over it. Once you do click on that tab, much of the rendering has already been done. So switching between tabs now feels faster. The other new performance-related feature is retained display lists. Whenever Firefox renders a page, it builds a display list that gathers the high-level items like borders, backgrounds, and text that need to be displayed on the screen and then organizes them according to the CSS painting rules. Originally, Firefox would build a new list every time the screen changed, maybe because you scrolled down, for example, with the high-res screens and complex websites. That process would take a while, though a while in the context means about 4 to 5 milliseconds. Over the course of the last few months, the Firefox team rebuilt parts of the system to ensure that the list doesn't have to be rebuilt every time, which led to a significant reduction in paint times. Another major new Firefox feature for developers is the Accessibility Tool Inspector, which is part of the built-in set of developer tools in the browser. The idea here is to provide developers with a clear view of how the browser would expose information to people with visual impairments. For example, so developers can ensure the screen readers work on their sites. This tool is turned off by default because it does have a bit of performance and memory impact, but it's easy enough to enable in developer tools. You can read a bit more about all of the information it exposes here, which is a URL. Let me get that for you. It is at Firefox Developer Tools, which is developer.firefox.org. As usual, there are plenty of online tweaks in this release, including the ability for web extensions to hide tabs and for more streamlined way to add search engines to the location bar. You can find a full rundown of every change going on. All right, so Firefox is trying to compete again with Chrome, and it gives you the opportunity to enjoy a different one. Now, I always suggest that you always have more than one browser for a couple of reasons. Number one, there are times when I have been an administrator between a website, and when I see what I see as administrator is not what I would see as a regular user. So I go back and forth between browsers, Chrome and Firefox and the like. Number two, both browsers render differently. So if you are buying or having a website developed, you really should see it in multiple common used browsers, such as Firefox and Chrome. And number three, there are times when something just doesn't work right, and you don't know whether it's your computer or it's the website that you're using. So I always use another browser to help me figure that out. So I always have Firefox on my computer. I have Chrome on my computer. Those two usually do me just fine at this point. So check it out. Download that. Have it as another option. Why don't I use Explorer? Well, because Explorer has been a focus of hacks, and now Microsoft has come out with its new browser, and quite honestly, I'm just completely jaded by the problems with Explorer that I haven't really decided to go over that way at this point. It's time for me to do the news. I'll be back with more of Tech Today in a little bit. You're listening to Good Tech Today on HuntingChamber.com, the voice of business.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
There's primary voting today in a half dozen states: New York, Colorado, Maryland, Oklahoma, Utah, and Mississippi. The highest profile race is in Utah. That's where 2012 Republican presidential nominee Mitt Romney is heavily favored to win the GOP Senate nomination. Meanwhile, in South Carolina, Governor Henry McMaster's in a tense runoff with Republican challenger John Warren. President Trump was campaigning with McMaster in South Carolina last night. The president, though, talking about some other issues as well, including recent calls for members of his administration to be harassed in public.
It's the party of Maxine Waters. Do you believe her?
The president referring there to Democrats. Meanwhile, House Democrat Maxine Waters says she did call for administration officials to be harassed, but not to be harmed. This is USA Radio News.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. So, while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. It's the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/hire. That's ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
A 77-year-old man is charged with suspicion of murder, attempted murder, and arson after he allegedly started a blaze at a senior living facility in Long Beach, California yesterday. Officials say he was trying to lure firefighters so then he could shoot them.
Two firefighters were struck, as well as one citizen was struck.
That's Sergeant Brad Johnson of the Long Beach Police, who says one of the two firefighters died. Now Thomas Kim is facing those charges. There's still no word on his motive. The agency overseeing the U.S. border says it's no longer recommending prosecution for people who illegally cross it with kids. The Customs and Border Protection Commissioner saying CPB is temporarily stopping such prosecutions, that after President Trump's executive order last week that was to end the separation of families at the border. The Pawnee wildfire in Northern California continues to grow. It's just 5% contained. And this is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
A Kentucky World War II veteran to be honored posthumously at the White House today when President Trump will award a Medal of Honor to the family of Army First Lieutenant Garland Murrell Connor. An injured Connor ran from a hospital in France in 1945 to rejoin his unit on the front lines. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell paying tribute to Connor and noting that he performed heroically through, quote, wave after wave of German advances. The Kentucky Republican was instrumental in securing a Medal of Honor for Connor, who died in 1998 at 79. The Medal of Honor is America's highest military award. Britain's Prince William's on a historic tour of the Middle East that began in Jordan and will be heading to Israel and occupied Palestinian territories before it's over. USA Radio's Wendy King has more.
William and Jordanian Crown Prince Hussein watched a World Cup soccer match together and later visited the archaeological ruins of Jerash, a Roman city dating to the first century. The site has a personal connection to the royal couple. Kate Middleton was photographed there by her father, Michael Middleton, in 1984 when she was a child. British royals have historically declined invitations for official state visits to Israel. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu called it a historic visit. For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
You're listening to Tech Today on WHCRDB, Hunter Chamber Radio.com, the voice of business. We continue with our march through all different technology news and latest apps, buying advice for hardware and software. one of the articles, talked about that robot that they have that's going to be making burgers in California. And I had to laugh when USA Radio was talking about it with regard to how much it costs to make that burger. So I wanted to get a little bit more information about it. And I have the article here. I'm just looking for which tab I have it on. Should have it one of these. Good grief. Come on, Yahoo. Nope. I know it's here. There it is. So a robot it's not giving me the article I'm clicking on. That's kind of weird. So we'll have to get to that a little bit later, a little bit further on. It's a video, but it's not a... Oh, there it is. Oh, it's a video. I'll have to watch that to get it. Anyway, it was so interesting to hear that the cost of a burger was going to be $6, whereas you have it on other ones, like the fast food restaurants are much cheaper. But, you know, you got to get the quality, the comparisons. What's the ingredients? How big is the burger? And all that. And there might be other things, but I don't know. Anyway, moving on to other gadgets that you can go and check in virtually. You have Fitbit's latest fitness tracker lets you monitor your kids. So, once again, there's technology out there that is available to make lives easier, to be more connected, but then there are ones that can be used on the darker side. So understand, again, there are caveats. This is on Yahoo Finance. David Pogge is written this on Yahoo Finance, and he says that the government's latest research shows that 18.5% of American children aged 2 to 19 are now obese, a number that has more than tripled since the 1970s. Why? You name it. Bigger portion sizes, daily soft drinks, more junk food, families eating out more often, ubiquitous high fructose corn syrup, increased stress, and towering over all of it, shocking inactivity. Our kids aren't out riding their bikes and playing stickball anymore. They're on the couch, on their phones, or their laptops. Fitbit's new wristband thinks it can help. The Fitbit Ace is $100. It's the company's first fitness and sleep tracker for kids 8 years and older. You'd be forgiven for thinking that Fitbit didn't put a lot of effort into developing the Ace. It's the Fitbit Alta that some features stripped away. It's not even based on the Alta HR, which is a fantastic tracker that monitors your pulse. Instead, it's based on the Alta, which came out in the early 2016, doesn't have a heart monitor. The Ace's silicon band is really small, smaller than even the Alta's small hand, in readiness for young wrists. My 13-year-old guinea pig, son, is at the older range of the Ace's intended audience, so he had to use the second-to-last hole on the band, and several buyers on Amazon complained that it's too small even for their 6- to 8-year-old. Of course, we could, if we wanted, replace the band with an Alta band, which are available on Amazon for $6 and up in dozens of styles, materials, and colors. As in other Fitbit bands, the Ace's screen is generally dark. You awaken it either by raising your wrist as though to check time or by giving it a couple of firm taps. Additional taps scroll through the different displays, time, step count, active minutes, and so on. The Ace's charger is a sponge-loaded clamp at the end of the USB cable. The battery lasts about 5 days on a charge. The Ace is fine to wear in the shower, but it's not built to withstand swimming. Here are the features. Many of the Ace's software features are identical to what's on the Fitbit models. a choice of clock face displays, some horizontal, some vertical, with various amounts of fitness data on the same screen. Little buzzes and animations when you reach your step count goal for the day. The ACE suggests 10,000 a day for children. Trophy graphics, badges, congratulations in the app when you hit your goals. Step count challenges among family members. Silent or vibrating alarms to wake you in the morning. Phone call alerts. The caller's name or number scrolls across the screen. Bedtime reminder alerts. App-to-app cheers, taunts, and typed messages among family members. Reminders to move. If you haven't stirred in 50 minutes, the ACE can offer a nudge to get in 250 steps before the hour's up. You can set the feature to shut up during school hours. A graph in the app shows you how many of today's hours you succeeded in moving at least those 250 steps. Note, however, what is not available on the ACE. Notifications of text messages, yep. It notifies you only of phone calls. Weird. Without heart rate tracking, the ACE can't display your sleep cycles, as all current grown-up Fitbits do. Only the actual hours you were asleep or restless. My son felt ripped off by the 2016 error simplicity of the sleep graphs. Automatic exercise recognition. Grown-up Fitbits detect when you're running, riding your bike, or whatever, and record those activities automatically. A record of how many miles you've walked. An option to track your weight. Other Fitbits let you enter your weight either manually or automatically if you have one of Fitbit's wireless scales. An option to record your food intake and calories burned. Fitbit has omitted all of that calorie and weight stuff on purpose, presumably to avoid giving kids a body image complex at such a young age. These options appear automatically in the app when your kid turns 13. There are also a couple of measures that Fitbit says are coming soon. The option to add friends outside your family to your kid's circle of competitors and taunters. You, the wise parent, must approve each one. A 5-day family step count battle option. From the kid's view, the only big ticket advantage of the ACE, you, the parent, can see the kid's data in real time on your own phone. In fact, in the Fitbit app, you can fully transform your screen into kid view so that you can see exactly what your kid sees. And there's a comparison on this website. So there you have it. The ability to track and invigorate your kid into getting more energy. I don't know. It's a bit of a gadget. And gadgets do motivate kids. I get that. But what I have seen, unfortunately, is that gadgets only last for a little while. And then the tough habits continue. And so really you need to do is instill a habit of change in your child to let them know what they're facing and foster activities and some type of planning, which you can do manually without having to use technology. And then after that, the technology can enhance that. But if you think the technology is going to enhance motivation, that's not the case. Motivation has to be there, and then the technology supplements it. And to think otherwise is a grave mistake in business and in personal world. So be advised. It is 10:45. We need to take one more break, and we will be back with more of Tech Today on HuntingChamber.com, the voice of business.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you...
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
It's Tech Today. We're on WHCR-DB, HuntingChamber.com. I'm Chris Bianco, and I am telling you about new technology that's hitting our midst, and one of them has happening today. As a total coincidence, I've been shopping for a friend for a new Wi-Fi router. And lo and behold, today I found out that the security that you use to connect with your router is changing. The certification standard is changing. It's been over a decade since the last one. The current security that you use is WPA2. And now we have WPA3 certification, which starts today. The Verge has an article. There are plenty of articles out there, but I'm using the Verge article at this point. Jacob Castronakis on the 26th, as reported, the WPA3 certification starts today. Wi-Fi security is starting to get its biggest upgrade in over a decade. Now, in summary, from the outside looking in, this is not going to look much different to you. You're simply going to still find the Wi-Fi network, what they call the SSID, that you're going to click on, and then if there's a password, you have to type in a password to get access to it. So from that point of view, it's not really going to be much different. But from the security standpoint, there's some changes that are happening. Wi-Fi devices have been using the same security protocol for over a decade, but today that'll begin to change. The Wi-Fi Alliance, which oversees adoption of the Wi-Fi standard, is beginning to certify products that support WPA3. The successor to the WPA2 security protocol that's been in use since 2004. The new protocol provides a number of additional protections for devices connected over Wi-Fi. One big improvement makes it harder for hackers to crack your password by guessing it over and over again. And another limits what data hackers can see even once they're uncovered the passcode. Nothing will change as far as users see it. You'll still just type in your password and connect to the network. WPA3 protections won't just flip on overnight. In fact, it's going to be a many years long process.
First, you'll have to buy a new router that supports WPA3 or hope that your old one is updated to support it. The same goes for all your gadgets. You'll have to buy new ones that support WPA3 or hope that the old ones are updated. Fortunately, devices that support WPA3 can still connect with devices that use WPA2, so your gadgets shouldn't suddenly stop working because you brought something new into the house. The first big new feature in WPA3 is protection against offline password guessing attacks. This is where an attacker captures data from your Wi-Fi stream, brings it back to a private computer, and guesses passwords over and over and over again until it finds a match. With WPA3, attackers are only supposed to be able to make a single guess against that offline data before it becomes useless. They'll instead have to interact with the live Wi-Fi device every time they want to make a guess. And that's harder since they need to be physically present and devices can be set up to protect against repeating guesses. WPA3's other major addition, as highlighted by the Alliance, is forward secrecy. This is a privacy feature that prevents older data from being compromised by a later attack. So, if an attacker captures an encrypted Wi-Fi transmission, then cracks the password, they still won't be able to read the older data. They'd only be able to see new information currently flowing over the network. These changes apply to home and personal uses of Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi as it is used in an enterprise setup, like at a large office, where every user is provided a different password, is getting updated too, but it's still a different set of protections. The Wi-Fi Alliance expects WPA3 rollout to ramp up over the next year. For now, it won't be mandatory in new products, but the next generation of Wi-Fi itself, which is AO211AX, is also starting to come out and is expected to hit mass adoption late 2019. As those devices become available, the Alliance expects the pace of WPA3 adoption to pick up. The Alliance says that as adoption grows, WPA3 will eventually become a requirement for a device to be considered a Wi-Fi certified. Even though WPA2 is more than a decade old, it hasn't sat untouched since then. The protocol is still maintained and updated to address new exploits and new protections. The Alliance says WPA3 will be the same way. In addition to the start of WPA3 certification, the Alliance is also announcing a new option Wi-Fi feature called Easy Connect. Easy Connect is meant to simplify the process of connecting smart home gadgets to your router, which can be tricky when they don't have screens or buttons on them. If the device and the router it's connecting to supports Easy Connect, you'll be able to scan a QR code with your phone to have the Wi-Fi credentials automatically sent to the new device. While this sounds like a great feature, it's hard to guess how widely this will roll out, since it requires support from a lot of parties before it would really become useful. Adoption news is brighter on the WPA3 side of things. Many companies have already announced their support, including Qualcomm, which has already started making a chip for phones and tablets that supports 802.11ax and WPA3. So if you're in the market for a new router, if you're on the market for a new devices, start looking for 802.11ax. The latest protocol out there is 802.11ac. Now, these are all backwards compatible. Let's go back a little bit. There's 802.11a, which was the first Wi-Fi compatible. 802.11b was the next one. Then we had G, which got a little faster. Then we had N, which got us up to about 300 megabits per second. And now we have 802.11ac, which elongates the field. So if a router is in the middle of your house and you happen to be on the edge past the field, it elongates the radio waves to still include you, but it shortens the radio waves on other places that aren't being used. Now we're going to have 802.11ax. So as protocol changes, so do the speeds, because they have to continue to grow with the devices, the hunger of the devices, and the speed at which the ISPs, your cable company,
that provides your internet is growing in its speed as well. So 802.11ax is the next one, and WPA3 security is the next one as well. All right, only a few more minutes left before we get on to staying young. Looking to see if I have anything real quick here. Robinhood co-CEO, Sovereign Nations will make crypto their default currency, says J.P. Mangalindan of Yahoo Finance. So cryptocurrencies are the future, and that's what Robinhood co-CEO Baju Bhatt believes, so much so that Sovereign Nations will one day make cryptocurrencies their default currencies. I think it's inevitable. Whether this happens next year or in the next 15, Bhatt told Yahoo Finance earlier this month at its live all-market summit, Crypto in San Francisco. To the end, Bhatt wants Robinhood to play a major role in the space. The February, the Palo Alto, California-based startup, which is worth $5.6 billion, rolled out Robinhood Crypto, a crypto-focused platform that currently lets users monitor and track 16 cryptocurrencies, as well as trade Bitcoin and Ethereum in 16 states. The Robinhood on CEO declined to specify how many of Robinhood's 4 billion plus general users also use Robinhood crypto. He also refrained from specifying when the brokerage would allow the trading of other cryptocurrencies. But it could be out there. So it's going to be a fight. There's no doubt about it. Well, guys, it's been my pleasure to be with you. Do not fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. That is the mission of Tech Today. And hopefully we've imparted that mission onto you. We'll talk to you again next week. Have a great week. Take care.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Breaking news as the Supreme Court is upholding President Trump's so-called travel ban. The ban that involves travel and immigration to the U.S. by people from 8 countries, including 6 largely Muslim nations. The policy had been challenged by several states, but the High Court has just announced it has voted 5-4 in its ruling to again uphold that ban. California Democrat Maxine Waters not backing down from statements she made over the weekend about harassing members of President Trump's administration when they're spotted in public. USA Radio's Robin Walensky with more.
The California Congresswoman not apologizing after she takes heat for telling people to protest and push back on members of President Trump's cabinet when they are in public.
There's nowhere in my statement, anytime, any place that we talked about harm.
USA Radio News.
Ugh, you guys, I am so ready for the beach.
I'm not.
What? The trip is coming up soon.
Yeah, my beach body is nowhere close to where I want it to be.
Same here. I've got to lose some weight before we go.
Plus, I know you're going to want to post pictures from the trip all over Facebook.
Well, why don't you guys try Calitrin?
Calitrin? That sounds really familiar.
It's super easy to take, and it's even healthy for you. You just take it at bedtime, and it does all the work for you.
You're joking.
No, I'm not joking, and you're going to feel good taking it.
So I got the Calitrin, and I got into pants that I had not been into in a year and a half. It also took my hot flashes away.
Hey, this is Jack, and I've been using Calitrin. I used to go to the chiropractor at least once a week. The Calitrin has definitely helped me, and I definitely recommend it to anybody.
This is Lynn. I've been on Calitrin, and I love it, and I've lost 45 pounds.
So where can I get Calitrin?
You can go to their website at toploss.com, or you can call them at 833-TOP-LOSS.
President Trump at a South Carolina rally last night where he doesn't back down on his calls to deport illegal immigrants immediately without going before judges. The president telling the crowd at that campaign rally that his advisors were telling him 5,000 new judges are needed to process people crossing the border.
So I said today, I don't want judges. I want ICE and Border Patrol agents.
President Trump speaking at that rally in support of South Carolina's Governor Henry McMaster, who today's in a tense runoff election with Republican challenger John Warren. Meanwhile, there are primary elections in six other states, New York, Colorado, Maryland, Oklahoma, Utah, and Mississippi. In Northern California, the Pawnee fire is burning out of control, crews saying it's only